He'll teach you what you need to know so that you can thrive and prosper in a situation before you get to the situation. And then he'll be like, okay, I'm going to start teaching you this. And you just get on this kick of learning something. Then you don't realize that that's actually what makes you prosper in the next stage or next, you know, section or the next thing that, you know, that you hit or that you go through so you can prosper in it. You know, God wants you to prosper. God wants you to do well. The Bible says that God wants you to prosper in all that you do. There's not one thing that God doesn't want you to prosper in, all right? Prosperity is something that it literally means to like advance, to do well, okay? So that's what prosperity actually means. I mean, people talk about like a prosperity message and they apply it like to money, but then they say it's not just money. But, you know, prosperity actually, I'm going to be honest with you, have nothing to do with money actually. Money is actually the byproduct of God prospering you. But the word prosperity doesn't actually have anything to do with money. Prosperity is really God's power producing fruit through you so that you can advance, okay? That's really what prosperity is. I mean, the literal word prosperity, like in the Hebrew, like it actually means to advance, to go forward. But I'm talking about even just from like Jeremiah 17 and Psalms chapter 1 and chapters like that. It's Jeremiah 17 and Psalms chapter 1. And you see chapters like that. What it calls prosperity is actually the fruit the Holy Spirit produces through you, okay? Or the fruit that the river produces for the tree is really what it is. So that's actually, prosperity is doing well by the Holy Spirit, okay? Advancing by the Holy Spirit. That's what prosperity actually is. Now, I will say, wealth is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit working through you. But obviously, the fruits of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit moving through you, that's prosperity. But so money is not prosperity, but when the Lord is prospering you, money and not just money, but it's the earth's property. Wealth, as I've said in the past, that's a result of the Holy Spirit producing prosperity through you, okay? But there's prosperity inside of you, and the Holy Spirit produces prosperity through you, and as he's producing prosperity through you, then there's even an outward wealth that comes after that, but that itself is not prosperity, but it's the effect of prosperity, okay? It's because, like I said, prosperity is actually something that is unseen, that the Holy Spirit is producing fruit through you from the unseen, all right? Obviously, just so you know, you don't have money inside of you right now. Unless you swallowed a quarter or something like that on the way in, you don't have money in you, okay? And if you swallowed a quarter, man, you know, we're going to pray for you so that when that thing comes out, that it's smooth sailing for you. But you don't have money in you. You have unseen things in you. So this is why when people say, like, God wants to prosper you in every area of your life. God wants to give you wealth and give you this and prosper you this, you know. And they say, it's not just money, but God wants to prosper you in all these other areas. It's truthfully, though, it's not even, money's not even part of it, actually. Because, you know, this is awesome. I love being able to teach this because I haven't been able to teach this for a very long time because I didn't know how to view money properly. And that's the proper view of money and finance and wealth and just physical things in general, okay? So I don't want to, when I'm talking to you, don't turn me off because you're like, okay, money, wealth, blah, 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 blah. He's talking about this again. Don't turn me off because I'm talking about the earth's property, okay? If you're wearing a shirt on your back right now, this is applicable to you. If you're wearing a flesh right now, it's applicable to you. If you had a meal today or yesterday or the day before, it's applicable to you, okay? If you have shoes on your feet, it's applicable to you. It's called the earth's property. If you live in a house, this is applicable to you, okay? And it's not about money. You don't have to get an allowance or have a job for this to be applicable to you because you live in an earth, okay? That's why it's applicable to you. But prosperity, money is actually not even part of prosperity because the only prosperity that God has given you are things that are unseen, the things that are from heaven, okay? Unless it came from heaven down to you when you first got saved and totally baptized you, unless it came down into you to be joined with you in your spirit inside of your body, it's not yours. That's the only things that are yours. So that's prosperity. And the fruit that comes out from the Holy Spirit is what Psalms 1 is talking about when it says that he'll prosper in all that he does. He doesn't mention money. Jeremiah 17 doesn't mention money. The prosperous man that it talks about, the kind of prosperous tree that it talks about, and all that he does shall prosper, and talks about the blessed man in Jeremiah 17, is actually talking about the fruit that comes from this unseen one on the inside of you. And like I said, you don't have money on the inside of you. So this prosperity that it's talking about can't even have anything to do with money. Like when I say nothing to do with money, I mean it's not even part of it. People say today, God wants you to prosper in money and all this stuff, but money's just part of it. It's every part of your life. But no, money's not even part of it. You don't have money. We don't have money anymore. We don't have wealth. It's not even part of what actual prosperity is, okay? Prosperity is actually unseen things inside of you that bear fruit out through you so you can advance and prosper in this world. All the prosperity he's given you inside of you is not physical, is not food or clothing or any of these things, any physical thing. So, and like I said, don't measure what I'm saying by my words or by your opinion. Measure what I'm saying by Psalms 1 and Jeremiah 17, where it actually talks about what God calls prosperity. And you'll find out that prosperity comes from the river. And no, the river is not the word of God. I don't know why so many people say that. The river is the word of God. It's not. I know, I think the confusion is the word of God is sometimes called water. And the Holy Spirit's called water sometimes. But the word of God is never called a river, okay? So that might be where the confusion is. But the river is talking, it's actually the Holy Spirit, okay? We're the tree planted by river and water. And yes, you could confirm that with like numbers. It's like numbers 20-something, 22, 23. It actually calls us trees, and it calls our bodies trees. And I'm not going to go into all that right now. Balaam actually calls them that. And so the tree is us, then the river is the Holy Spirit. And obviously, if the tree is your body, so obviously, see this? This is my body. If this is the tree that Jeremiah 17 is talking about, there's a reason why it's called a tree. Again, it's not a metaphor. But if this is the tree that Jeremiah 17 is talking about, and it's that code word, the word tree. I don't know how to define the word tree. I just know what it's talking about in the context. Again, because of Balaam, because the Holy Spirit speaking through Balaam. But nevertheless, tree talking about your body. So if this is a tree, and the water is the Holy Spirit, or the river is the Holy Spirit, then you could say, look, I'm a tree planted by water, right? I mean, like tree by water. You say body by the Holy Spirit, right? It totally, totally makes sense. And this body produces fruit. It's your body. The fruit's being produced out of your body. Okay, that's what it's being produced out of. That's where transformation happens. It happens through your body. And so the Holy Spirit in me, the water or the river in me, is producing fruit out through my body or the tree, right? So you follow me so far? And that's what Jeremiah 17 calls prosperity. So prosperity is something that comes out of your body. If it doesn't come from the Holy Spirit in you, out, it's not prosperity, and you don't have it, and it's not yours. So money is not part of prosperity. The earth's property is not part of prosperity, but it is an effect of prosperity. And it's not an optional effect. It's for every single person. People like to think that God just wants different people at different financial levels, and this is what he wants you at, and maybe he doesn't want you. You know, honestly, do you know why people say stuff like that? Because they want to make an excuse. That's what it is. They want a reason or an excuse for why they're broke or why. That's what they want. Rather than just say, hey, this doesn't have to be that way. And guess what? I do have true prosperity on the inside of me that can produce fruit out through me and can result in the earth's possessions. You know, rather than say that, people will make an excuse as to why, because they feel almost like they need to excuse it. So they say the Lord did it, or they say the Lord doesn't want me to have that, or, you know, because it's like, It's maybe easier, maybe in their mind. It's not really easier. You're making it harder for yourself. You're not accepting the good news, and you're definitely not going to experience it. God's will for you is prosperity. God wants you to prosper. And like I said, I'm not even talking about money. Like, again, not even part of it. Money is not even part of prosperity. It's not at all part of prosperity. Let me say it this way also. Like, Psalms 1 talks about prospering, and all that he does prospers. Which is cool, right? All that we do prospers. God is able to make anything you do prosper. Even if it's a mistake, he can make it prosper. You know why? Now, you can make a mistake and still look to yourself to fix it. And no, you're not going to see prosperity there. Psalms 1 doesn't say just whatever you do prospers. No, actually, it says when you meditate on the Lord and you keep your heart on the Lord, then everything you do will prosper. Anything that you do can prosper. It says because your heart stayed in the Lord, because you meditate on his word day and night. That's what it is. So you can make a mistake and God will turn your mistake around and make prosperity out of it. Why? Because your mistake is prosperous? No, that's silly, right? Mistakes are unprofitable, right? It's not that your mistake became profitable. No, your mistake is unprofitable. There's no profit that comes from your mistake. There's no profit that comes from sin. Sin is not what's profitable. The fact that you prospered is because you've been made righteous by faith in Jesus, and he can prosper you on that basis. He can work prosperity out through you if you believe him, if you just believe him over it. And say, thank you, Jesus, for making me right. I just did something wrong, and you took that wrong and imputed it to Jesus. So I'm right now. So you can prosper me because I'm right through Jesus. And there it goes. And anything you do can prosper. So Psalm 1 calls it prosperity. Jeremiah 17 calls it the blessing. It's the same thing, though. We're talking about prosperity coming out through you or the blessing coming out through you. It's the same thing. Jeremiah talks about blessed is the man. That was one of our first memory verses. Blessed is the man. And that blessing is the same thing. It's the blessing comes from the river on the inside of you, and it comes out through you. But it's not an optional thing. You know, we have to think more inheritance-wise than we do God just does stuff. Okay? Most Christians have a mentality, well, God just does stuff. And why did that happen? You know, why did that miracle happen? Why did Elijah call fire down from heaven? Why did that happen when he prayed to the Lord and it called fire down from heaven? Why did, you know, Daniel, when he got thrown into the lion's den, why is it that he was spared? Or we can go through a million different examples in the Bible. Why is it that when Paul was shipwrecked on the island of Malta, and they didn't have Malta Goya there, but it was called Malta, the island of Malta, all right? It wasn't like, you know, like a Malta Goya candy land. Like, that wasn't the point. But it was called Malta, though, and maybe that's where the name came from. But basically, he got shipwrecked on there, and when he got shipwrecked, snake came out, and poisonous snake, and bit him. And I think it was bit him in the hand, but I'm not sure. Maybe that's just the way I picture it. But snake came out from the fire and bit him. And he just shook it off into the fire and continued doing what he was doing. He was a poisonous snake. And the people thought he was going to die. And they said, oh, what did he do? What kind of sin did he commit? Because he must have sinned or something that you know, God put this on him. And then they saw he didn't die. And then they thought very, very highly of him after that. So both were wrong. But anyhow, the point is, though, you see all these different things, and people say, well, why did that happen? You're like, well, of course that could happen, because God can do anything. You know, you can't think that way. You have to think in your idea of these things have to be inheritance. They can't be that God just does miracles, because God doesn't just do miracles. Take Jesus out of the picture and see how many miracles God does for you. I'm going to say that again, just to kick that mentality in the pants. Take Jesus out of the picture. Like, as if he made no atonement for us, right? Let's say he didn't come for us. See how many miracles God does for this God that we say can do any sort of good toward human beings without an atonement from Jesus. See how many miracles happen. See what happens when Paul gets bit by a snake. See what happens without an atonement from Jesus. They honestly think that God can just do good to Paul when a snake bites him apart from Jesus doing anything and providing anything. That didn't happen because God can do anything. Because like I said, if Jesus didn't come, Paul's dead. That just Paul's dead. I mean, everybody's dead if Jesus didn't come. But Paul's dead when the snake bites him. There's no pity from God that's going to flow through Paul. There's no mercy from God that's going to flow through Paul. There's no grace from God that's going to flow to Paul. You know, God can't pity you enough to help you. Because he's just. Justice is a barrier between you and God apart from Jesus. The fact of the matter, Jesus had to come. And when he came and died for us, he was making atonement. That's called intercession. He stood in between us, between a God that loves us and wants to bless us and us who can't receive it because we don't deserve it. What does one do with a situation like that? With a God that loves you so much and wants to bless you, but you can't receive it because you don't deserve it. And he can't give it to you because he's just. So you got this justice wall in between you. I can't say justice wall. It's really not his justice, but it's a sin wall is really what it is. Our sin, okay? Doesn't allow God's justice to bless us, okay? Apart from Jesus. If Jesus didn't come, that would be the case. Our sin, not that we chose to be in sin, okay? This is, you know, it's kind of easy for us. We just look back and blame on Adam. Like, oh, it was my choice. You sinned. So, like, it's your fault for everybody. But it kind of is. So we kind of can do that. Yeah, we didn't choose it. Now, if we had the same choice Adam did, we probably would have screwed it up too. But we will never know that. So we just keep blaming on him. We were born in sin. Adam's fault. I'm in sin because Adam's fault. So that's what we can blame our birth from, is that Adam's sin, and we were born into it because of it. Now watch this though. Our sin doesn't allow God's justice to bless us. I'm speaking apart from Jesus. And so that's why Jesus comes in the middle. So he says, okay, because the Father loves us and wants to bless us and wants to give us life, all right? God wants to give us life. That's our inheritance. Life, in one word, life. That's our inheritance. Life. You say, well, isn't righteousness our inheritance? You might be able to say that, but it's more accurate to say that righteousness is the way to your inheritance, okay? Not that righteousness is the inheritance itself. Righteousness is the means to get the inheritance, but life is our inheritance. So God wants to give you life. God wants to give you life, his life power, his power that is called life. He wants to give that to you, but you couldn't receive it, so Jesus is the intercessor. So it's only because of his atonement. Let me say this. It's only through Jesus' atonement that any man can receive anything. Take Jesus out of the picture, nobody receives anything from God. And I'm not just talking about salvation from hell or something like that. No, I'm saying anything. I'm saying God wouldn't even be able to speak to you. Anything good, that is, okay? God could proclaim judgment over you without Jesus. If Jesus never came, God could say, I'm sorry, but I have to judge you. He could say that. They said, well, how could God do that? Honestly, if you saw the depravity that we were born in, you wouldn't say, how could God do that? You would look at God's love and say, how could God do that? Okay, so don't question God, okay? God would never judge willfully, but God is just, and that's depravity there. And just so you know, we're speaking theoretically. This didn't happen. But apart from Jesus, there would only be wrath, okay? And God couldn't even give you wisdom. He couldn't even be like, hey, help you out here. He couldn't even give you a little help. There would be nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, we think God can do stuff just because of his pity toward humankind. And it's untrue. God can't do something out of mere pity. God does have pity. God has compassion. He's full of compassion. The Bible says that he delights in showing mercy. So God delights in mercy. He loves showing mercy. But he still can't do that because of sin, him being just. So like I said, that's why when Jesus comes in, the only thing we receive is through him. The only thing we receive is through Jesus. Jesus, if Jesus didn't provide it, we don't have it. Okay? So if God does something for Elijah or for Moses or for anybody in this entire world, if he parts a Red Sea, if he does anything, it was only because Jesus provided something that they received. It wasn't because God did a miracle. It was this. It was that they tapped into what Jesus had already provided. That's the only thing, that's the only way a man could ever receive anything. You see, because when you see things as just fluke miracles that just happen sometimes, you don't have any surety of an inheritance. You're just kind of waiting on God for him to do something. See, you can't see it that way. You can't see it like God just does stuff. Because like I said, apart from Jesus, God wouldn't be doing nothing good toward humankind. Now, I'm going to say this again so it's clear. People will talk about this. Let me clarify something. People talk about, well, God can do as he pleases in the world. God can reign over the kingdoms of this world and raise up who he wants to raise up and lower who he wants to lower. God does choose for things like that. And I will admit, yes, God chooses the decisions for this world. But let me say this, though. Apart from Jesus, God can deal in this world, but the only thing God would have been able to deal in this world is evil towards sin. That's it. You understand? So I understand if Jesus never came, God could still deal with humankind, but not with any blessing or with anything good. Only evil. Only evil. Okay? Now I'm not saying God is evil, but actually evil towards sin is good. Okay? I hope you understand that. Evil towards sin is actually just. It's a good thing. All right? And if you don't think it's good, then, you know, take away the United States government for a little while and see how you like living in this country. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It brings peace. It brings tranquility for people. It's a good thing. So without Jesus, there would only be evil. That would be the only thing that God would be able to do. But it's because of Jesus that we have righteousness and that we have this prosperity that God always wanted to give us, but we have this prosperity now that flows through us by the Holy Spirit. And only prosperity, because Jesus became the sin that was our barrier before, and he took all the evil that was to be imputed to sin. Jesus became it already. So that's actually already over. You'll never receive for your sin. God will never remember your sins again, and God will never deal with your sin ever again. It's over. God will never even deal with the sins of the world again. When Jesus comes back, the Bible says in Hebrews that he will come back apart from sin. It won't be to deal with sin. So Jesus already became that. And obviously we have the gift of righteousness now, and this is why we reign in life through Jesus. So we have a prosperity now. We have the life now that God always wanted to give us, but we cannot view this, though, as something that God just did. Anyone that teaches this false sovereignty of God, I believe that God is sovereign. Like I said, without Jesus, I believe God is still sovereign if Jesus never came. He's still sovereign. He can still do what's right. He can still deal with humankind if Jesus never came, but it would just be evil. The only way that God can do good toward humankind is to have a just means to do it, because he's a just God. And that's why he sent Jesus, okay? So I mean to bombard your mind with all these different things, but it's because Jesus came that Jesus is the way to receive from the Father. God only gives through Jesus. God can't give outside of Jesus just because he feels like it. God has to give through Jesus. So when Jesus came, this is why we think in terms of we have an inheritance through what he did. Not just God does stuff. We think of in terms of inheritance. So he said our prosperity, God wanting to prosper you is not an optional thing. It's not you wondering whether God wants to prosper you or not. It's that prosperity and the blessing of God. Like I said, it's not optional for a believer. You have it already. He already provided it. It's not a matter of God's decision making for you to see whether he wants to prosper you or not, because God already made that decision 2,000 years ago when he sent Jesus and gave the entire world the same inheritance. You see? If we're, you see what this does? It gives us surety. It makes everything straightforward. You're not wondering like what God wants to do in your life because you already know. God wants to do in your life the same as He wants to do in my life. God wants to do in your life the same as He wants to do even in the world's life. It's the same intention through the same Jesus, giving everyone in the world the same inheritance, the same Savior for the same world. So we can't receive different things if we're all receiving through the same atonement. You can't do that. It's like saying you have one fountain and you're all drinking from the same fountain, but you're all drinking different things. It wouldn't make any sense to say that. If you're drinking from the same fountain, you're drinking the same thing. Because you can't have two things coming from the same fountain. If you're drinking from a fountain of water, you can't say, well, the quality of water you're drinking is inferior to the quality of water I'm drinking. Because the same water, then, if we're drinking from the same fountain. And Jesus, so to speak, I'm only being allegorical, obviously. Jesus is that fountain. And I'm only being allegorical, okay? Because that's not proper biblical terms. But Jesus is that means. So if you have the prosperity of God flowing through that means, which is Jesus, okay? Notice how I said that Jesus was the means, not your faith, right? Because the access was there before you ever believed, right? Jesus. And I'm not saying faith is not important, because otherwise we won't experience it. You have to believe on the Son of God in order to receive through the Son of God. But you're still receiving through the Son of God. So Jesus. So God has Jesus. And when Jesus dies, God goes, and He can come through now. That was the witness when Jesus died and the veil was torn. It wasn't so we could have relationship with God, okay? It wasn't just so we could talk to God now and be friendly with God. It was so that we could receive from the Father. And the Father could welcome us into His inheritance. There's an inheritance beyond the veil for us. And God revealed it by the death, the broken flesh of His Son, which Jesus is the veil, okay? Right? Jesus is that veil. The veil in the temple represents the flesh of Jesus. When God tore the veil, it was the way that He tore the flesh of His Son. Striped the flesh of His Son, broke the flesh of His Son. You see, even when Jesus represents His body with bread, He breaks it. When God represents the body of His Son in the veil, He breaks it. You see? Because the broken flesh of Jesus, because He had borne our sin, and the blood that was shed by Jesus, because the veil, right in front of the veil, we hadn't talked about this as much like in series past, but right in front of the veil, there's a little altar. It's called the altar of incense. There's two altars in the temple, two altars, one in the temple, one outside the temple, and same with the tabernacle. There's a little altar of incense in front of the veil, and that's where they put blood. They put the blood on the altar of incense, and so you got blood and you got body. Isn't that cool? You got blood and then you got body. And it says He ripped the veil in two, broke it in two, and there's blood right there. So it's pretty cool. And so God has an inheritance to give us. But guess what? There is no inheritance for any person that doesn't want to receive it through Jesus, because that's the only way people receive. God cannot look at somebody in some third world country and say, I pity you, therefore, here's prosperity. It's not going to happen. It won't happen. I don't care if someone even believes on God there and is crying out to God. It will not happen. There's only one way to receive. You see, God doesn't just do miracles. I'll say this one more time to make it concrete. Take Christ out and see how many miracles God does. See if the Red Sea is parted. Your whole Bible would be voided, negated. The entire Bible and everything that God speaks about toward us would be absolutely negated apart from Jesus. When people teach a false sovereignty of God, which is, and I'm not against sovereignty of God, but when people teach false sovereignty of God, that means, and this is the false sovereignty of God. If you say God can do any evil to the whole world apart from Jesus, God can do any evil to the whole world that He wants, and I'll agree with you and I'll say amen, because of course, God can do evil towards sin without Jesus, of course. But when you start saying that God can do miracles, and God could have helped so-and-so if He really wanted to, God could have stopped that car accident if He really wanted to, and do good towards somebody, now you got a problem with me, because you have a problem with the atonement of Jesus now. Because you're saying, this. Just think with me a little bit, okay? I don't want this all to go over your head. Think with me a little bit on this. You're saying, if you say that God can just stop that car accident, just so you know, if someone's going to ram into a telephone pole, there is no prosperity for that situation apart from Jesus and faith in Him. There's nothing. There's zero. Nothing. You know why? Because this. Because you're saying, if God could have stopped that thing, God could have healed that sickness, God could have this, God could have that. If you're saying all that, you're saying this. God could have done that apart from the atonement of Jesus. So what did you just do? You just made His atonement worthless. You're saying God can do good toward humankind without the atonement of His Son. And that's a serious, serious, serious problem. You know why? You just unravel the whole gospel by just making the work of Jesus void. You just did that. Anyone that says God can do anything he wants, including good toward humankind, is wrong. And they just voided the work of Jesus. If God can save people, heal people, do good toward people, then why in the world would he break the body of his own son to do it? Think about it. If you were in the Lord's position, and let's just say I'm in need, and you can just very, very easily lift your hand out and help me up, why would you sacrifice someone that you love to help me if you didn't really have to? If you could just, you can do anything. God can't do any good that he wants toward people. It's unjust. God cannot. That's why God needed the work of his son to invite you into the inheritance that's now yours today. That you it's your inheritance today. But why? Because God broke the flesh of his own son that he loved, his only son that he loved, and he shed his blood for us so that we through him can receive from God. So prosperity, like I said, this is not God deciding. God's not deciding today whether, you know, he wants to show love toward you. God's not deciding whether he wants to prosper you or not, and he's not deciding whether he wants to do good in your life today or not. Because God made that decision when he opened up the veil for you 2,000 years ago, and he made access to his inheritance that he wanted to give the whole world. God is the savior of the world. The Bible says especially of believers. So obviously the world that he's talking, because people will want to tell you that, oh, sometimes when the Bible says the world, it's not really talking about the whole world, it's talking about like half the world, or it's talking about the world and it's really just talking about believers. Or you have to be, honestly, you have to be so educated, you've blinded yourself to not see verses like that where the Bible said that he's the savior of the world, especially of believers. People have this whole idea like there are certain people that God has chosen for salvation, certain people that God has just selected to receive from him. Again, you're negating everything that Jesus came to do. When God sent Jesus, he came to send Jesus as the savior of the world. Like I said, the only way you can't understand that is if you went out and got so educated in something else that you literally blinded yourself, hardened yourself, and calloused yourself to the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it's like, man, how can you understand that? Jesus came and provided for the entire world, and guess what? You are part of that world, or were part of that world that Jesus died for. So when he opens the veil, tears the veil, and Jesus shed his blood for you, that was our invitation in. And guess what? If someone doesn't receive Jesus, if someone does not believe on Jesus, I should say, that's the important part. Because it's like Jesus provided it at the cross, and then when you believe on Jesus, that's what, it's like this. Imagine there's a door there, right? Imagine there's a door there, and there's an inheritance on the other side of that door, right? That door is your access. Are you your access? No, that door is your access into that thing. But faith's like walking through the door, okay? Or let me make it plainer. Knowing the truth is like walking through the door. You see? So you have life on the other side. That's our inheritance, right? And you have the way to that life. But God had to show you the truth. The truth is actually what leads you so you can take advantage of your door and receive that life, okay? That's why Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Do you know what that means? He's all-inclusive. Anything you need, Jesus is. That means way, truth, life. He is not just the life, because guess what? Jesus has been the life. God, if Jesus never came and died on the cross, he'd still be the life, right? He'd still be the life. He's still full of life. But we wouldn't have a way to get there, because we can't receive from God. So what did Jesus come to do? He came to become a way, to pay a price for us, to qualify us, so that we could enter that life. So guess what? So now we got Jesus the life, yeah. He's all that power and all the good and prosperity and all the blessing, right? He is that. But like I said, Jesus would be that if he never came and died on the cross for us. Because God is life. He's full of life. But then when Jesus came, though, he became that door. You could say he became that open veil. You could say he became the door. He became the way. He became the path. He became whatever you want to call it. He became the one who qualifies you now so that we could actually receive that life. And that's what we have come to the door. We've been made righteous through Jesus so that we could receive that life. So Jesus is that door. But just so you know, you got people in this world today, they have the same door we do. They have the same death of Jesus that we do, that has provided all that life. You guys follow me with that? Jesus, that door. And guess the whole world has the same door into the same life that we have. So why haven't they accessed? They're living out there poor and blind and naked, and they have nothing from God. Nothing from God. They have nothing from God. God has never done, let me say this. Apart from a believer intervening, God has never done anything in the life of an unbeliever. He's done everything for them, but in the life, as far as the working in their life, he's never done anything apart from a believer intervening, praying for them, believing for them, whatever it is. The whole world has a door. And there's life just beyond that door. And they're not accessing anything. Why? Because what's the last thing they need? Truth. They need to know the truth. Once they know the truth, it's like when you believe the truth, it's like walking through your door. It's how you take advantage of the way that Jesus made and all that Jesus provided. When you believe the truth of it, that's what makes you take advantage of it. Okay, let me give you an example. Before I mention, I said if in a third world country right now, because there are third world countries, there are people dying of starvation and all these different things, right? God cannot intervene any more than he already has for them. He's already provided everything for them, and Jesus already has made that way to all that inheritance for them. Now, apart from them believing on Jesus, God can do nothing for their situation. They have to believe on Jesus, and they can only, let me say this, they can only receive through Jesus. He's full of pity toward them. He's full of compassion for them. But God cannot muster up enough compassion to just unleash something in their life. They have to receive through Jesus. There was a man named Cornelius who gave alms to the poor, and he was, the Bible talks about how he prayed to God, gave alms to the poor, and God couldn't save the man. Couldn't pour his spirit down on Cornelius. Couldn't give Cornelius that prosperity. And he was giving to the poor, and he would pray to God often. And God saw it, but God couldn't pour his spirit on Cornelius and couldn't give Cornelius that prosperity. You know what God had to do? God sent an angel to Cornelius, to Cornelius' house, and had to tell him, go get Peter, so Peter can tell you the gospel so that I can work in your life. Isn't that a God? Can't you see God's intention? God wants to work in Cornelius' life. He sees that Cornelius is ready to believe, but I still can't give you my spirit, which is the prosperity of God. I still can't give you my blessing. I still can't do that for you. So he had to, by an angel, go get Peter, who was living at the time, staying with a man named Simon, and go get Peter, tell Peter to come and preach the gospel to you so you can believe on Jesus so that I can actually give to you through what Jesus did. You see? You have to receive through Jesus. God doesn't just do stuff. Can't. They've got. Why didn't God just save Cornelius? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just a small example. But God had to tell Cornelius, go get Peter, who's staying at the house of Simon the Tanner. You go get him. He'll come. He'll preach to you the gospel. They can give you that life that I want to give you. So God, like, it's like right at the door. Right at the door. But Cornelius, you can only receive through this door. And there's no amount of prayer and no amount of alms to the poor, no amount of good intentions that's going to release my power. Only Jesus releases my power. And apart from you believing on him, there is no power flowing for you. So for third world countries today, or for whatever calamity people want to blame on God, God would have to send someone over there to tell them the gospel before he could even work in their life. So that's why the gospel is so important, because it actually shows people their access, okay? Because they already have an access that's waiting for them, and they have life that's just beyond that access. Who's that access? Jesus is that access. But the truth kind of links you up with your access. It kind of leads you to your access, shows you, hey, you got an access over there. You need to believe on him. Bam, you believe on him, it's like you walk through the door, all right? So people need to receive through God's Son. There's no other way to receive from God. If God wants someone to receive, if there's a country, if there's a nation, if there's a person, an individual, if anyone, I don't care. People will say things about even little children. I don't care if you're 2 years old. It's still the same thing applies. Well, they don't know any better. It doesn't matter whether you don't know any better. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're 2 years old and you don't know Jesus, God can't work in your life. You see, God's not saying you have to believe on Jesus just because he feels like saying that, even when he really could help you. You know, he could find a different way. There's no way to receive from God. If you're a newborn, it doesn't matter. If you can't know Jesus, then you can't receive from God. You kind of understand what I'm saying? Like, this is not God, like, holding out, saying, no, you got to believe on Jesus, because that's the way I feel like doing it. It's the only way that it can happen. You know what I'm saying? People say things about little children. Well, they're not accountable, and this and that, and they can't this, and they can't know any better. So you can't know any better. But that's, honestly, there's no other way to receive except through Jesus. If you can't know Jesus, you can't receive from God. I don't care if you're 1 or 2 or 3 or 99. If you can't know Jesus, you can't receive from God. Because there's no other way to receive from God. Apart from somebody, like I said, if God wanted to help some nation or individual, he would have to have someone go there and preach the gospel to them so that they could receive. Because why? Because the gospel reveals the way in. Okay? I want to show you this because this is something that we just read recently. Romans 1:16. I'm not going too far into this. If you understand this, then that's good for you. And if not, then that's okay. We'll keep learning. But I'm going to read this really, really quick. It just says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Just look at the highlighted part. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So you could say the gospel empowers people to receive from God. And why does the gospel empower people to receive from God? It's because in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. Okay? That's all I'm reading. So I'm just read that to you so that we could see the verse. Romans 1, 16 and 17. So check this out. I'm going to explain the verse to you right now. What it's saying is the gospel is what empowers people to receive from God. And then it says why? Because in it, because in the gospel, the righteousness, let's not say righteousness, let's say the way, let's say the door. The door is righteousness through Jesus. That's the door, right? So let's say it this way. The gospel, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, of telling people about the gospel, because it's the gospel that actually empowers people to receive from God. And why does the gospel empower people to receive from God? Because in the gospel, the way is revealed. You see what the gospel does? There's a way, there's an access, anybody can access if they want to. But guess what? If they don't know the access, they're not going to receive through the access. So the gospel, it says, in the gospel, the righteousness of God, or the way in, is revealed. You see? That's what the gospel does. Because there's a way for everybody. Now, even us as Christians, we have already received this way. We've already come through the door. But do you know that God is still teaching you the truth about that righteousness? The Bible calls it leading you in the paths of righteousness, because you still have much more that you can experience through that righteousness. Okay? You've already received the righteousness. You've come through the door, you could say, but there's a lot more ahead of you to experience. There's a lot more to experience through that righteousness. All that's on the inside of you, of all that's on the inside, there's a lot more to experience through that righteousness. The gospel is meant just as a means to show you what Jesus did and all that he provided so that people can actually access through it. Okay, the gospel is like, just the gospel shows you what's going on. Jesus already made a way to the life, but the gospel shows you what's going on. The gospel is us preaching and saying, look, there's a way. Believe on him. Come through this way so you can receive the life of God. That's the gospel. We're showing people how to get, we're showing people and leading people on how to receive from God through Jesus. Because there are people in other countries right now, they don't know how to receive from God. They have all these other gods, or they serve other people, or they have whatever it is. Doesn't matter. Idols and things like that. False gods. And why do they need the gospel? Because they need to be shown the way in. Because guess what? If they don't come through Jesus, they're not receiving from God. So they need the gospel. It's like Cornelius. Cornelius needed to be shown by Peter how to receive from God. People need to know how to receive from God. They need to be taught Jesus and say, this is what Jesus did. This is how he did it. This is what you can receive through him. And as they believe it, they begin utilizing all that Jesus did for them. Okay? The gospel, that's what the gospel is so important. It shows us how to receive from God. It shows all that Jesus did so that we can utilize it, so that we can access through him. That's what the gospel does. That's what we need, the truth. But apart from that, like I said, there is not any such thing as receiving from God. Again, I can't say any other way. You got to receive this by revelation. If you just don't understand this, it's like there are people that would sit in this message and totally leave without even understanding. It has to come by revelation. Because I can say this over and over and over again, and it's not going to get through unless you actually are taught by the Holy Spirit. Because you may think like, oh, what's to get? There's a lot to get here, okay? People think that there's a certain amount almost of pity that God can just and just save or just rescue or just whatever it is. Let me give you an example. Because I said the thing about the little child thing before, people actually think that like little babies or little children can receive from God in certain ways just because they're little babies or little children. And I don't understand, just so you know, there may be certain questions that arise in your mind, and maybe some of those questions I can't totally answer. But as I said before, receiving through Jesus is not like God felt like doing that. It's the only way. It's the only way that men can receive from God, because Jesus is the only one that qualifies us. And thanks to God, we as believers, we've received Jesus, we are qualified now. The Bible says that we have been made meet. That just means you have been made qualified to be a partaker of God's inheritance. You've been qualified. That's in Colossians chapter 1. You've been qualified, it says, to partake in the inheritance. So thanks to God that through Jesus we have this. But everybody needs to be qualified the exact same way. Whether you're a child or whether you're an old person, it doesn't matter. You have to come through Jesus to receive from God. There is, like I said, God has had mercy on the whole world. But he did it when he sent Jesus. So that's God's mercy, that he sent Jesus, and we have all things through him. But the thing is, sometimes people don't want to come through Jesus. This is the same. These are the people that John 10 is talking about, where it talks about the thief and the robber, and it says that they tried to climb up another way. That's what it's talking about. In John 10 specifically, where it says that the thief and the robber, just so you know, the thief and the robber is not the devil. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's not a verse about the devil. And that may, you know, boggle your mind, but that's not talking about the devil. You can make that application only if you make it in the proper application, but that's actually talking about false teachers. Let's say it this way. The false teacher doesn't come except to steal, kill, and destroy. So obviously, and you can see just from what I just said, how stealing, killing, and destroying happens in the world. False teaching. Otherwise, there would be no stealing, killing, and destroying. There would be no hurt, no destruction. So, stealing, killing, and destroying happens. Why? Because God wills it? No. Because people don't know Jesus. That's why it happens. Plain and simple. Things are more black and white than we think. Things are not, there's not this mysterious gray area like we just don't know how to explain anything. You know what the problem is sometimes? Sometimes we just don't want to say it. We just don't want to say it. When someone says, well, why did this happen to me? You're saying that, you know, I just don't know something about Jesus and that's why this happened to me? Sometimes you know what you got to say? Yeah. Most of the time we create our own gray area because we don't want to say yes. And guess what? Yes, that's why it happened to you because it's something about Jesus you don't know. Yes, that's why it happened. It's not a big mysterious God. It's God provided through Jesus. And guess what? If you're a Christian, we already have access to these things. And you can edify and encourage a Christian that way. But guess what? I'm going to admit, if something happens, guess what? There is something I can know about Jesus that can fix that. And again, there's never a point, like I said, I've said recently, there is not a too late point. Whatever the problem was, the thing happened to you, or whatever problem occurred in your life, yeah, it could have been prevented. But guess what? It can still be fixed. Because you still got the same Jesus, the same access. And, you know, it's no harder for him to fix something than to prevent something. So you still have the same access. But guess what? We create our own mysterious gray area. Like, we don't know why things happen. And guess what? I know why things happen. The Bible says why things happen. Because people don't know Jesus. That's why it happens. Why do you think everything's going to get fixed when we see him as he is on that day? Because we need to see him as he is. And if something happens, guess what? Guess why it happened? Let me say in better phrases so we don't misunderstand me. In this world, you're going to have trouble. You know why I can know that? Because everything in this world is full of trouble. The seat you're sitting on is full of trouble. It's cursed. Everything in the world is a big fat mess, okay? Everything is. So it's no news. It's not like Jesus saying, in this world you're going to have trouble, like certain things are going to come your way and really, you know, rock your boat. No, in this world you have trouble. You went through trouble today. We're going through trouble right now. In this world we have trouble. Everything is cursed. This laptop, this microphone that's recording me right now is cursed. This microphone has trouble. My clothes right now have trouble. There's trouble all over the place. It's a world of trouble, a world of tribulation. So I'm not saying that because a circumstance occurs that that's your fault. I'm not saying that at all. Circumstances are going to occur and it's not your fault. But guess what? When we suffer the consequences of the earth, don't make a gray area. You know what happened? We are scared to tell people the truth. It happened because there's something about Jesus that you can know and you don't know. That's why it happened. Plain and simple, it's black and it's white. And then guess what? There are details as to, well, you know what? Is it that somebody, because you know, there are genuinely some people that are just sluggish, you know that? That they don't want to know Jesus because they're too caught up in the world. And guess what? That can totally happen. But lots of times, there are genuine Christians. So I'm not saying to treat Christians with disdain, but I'm telling you to tell Christians and anyone else the truth. That's why it happens. There are believers that genuinely are believing God. Sometimes people are believing God, and some people are messing themselves up trying to believe God too. But you know why they're struggling? I'm believing God as hard as I can. And for you just to come along and say, believe harder, they're like, I'm already going crazy trying to believe God and nothing's working. Because you know what? People need the right knowledge also. It's not that, I'm not saying that they don't believe at all, but guess what? People have wrong knowledge. They need right knowledge. There are people, most of the things that we talk about in here, people don't understand. So don't tell me that people don't need correction of knowledge to say, hey, you know what, brother? Let's sit down and let's talk about this for a little bit. And let me, you know, see, what do you think about that circumstance? And start getting, you know, because out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth's going to speak. So you can tell what they believe by drawing it out of their tongue, just so you know. So if you start talking with somebody, say, you know, let's just sit down, let's talk about it. I'm not asking you just to accuse someone and tear someone down. But like I said, but don't act like there's a big gray area. There is something about Jesus that they need to know. And it's going to stop all that struggling and garbage going on in their life because Jesus heals people. The knowledge of Christ, I should say, heals people. The provision's already there, but when people know Jesus, it heals them. It prospers them. The blessing of God flows for them because they're accessing through Jesus by knowing him. So if you're going through hell on earth, it don't have to be that way. You know that? So like I said, it's not a gray area. Guess what? I already know the problem. I can diagnose it before you even tell me the issue. There's something about Jesus we need to talk about. If you're going through, like I said, hell on earth, and everything feels like it's crumbling around you, or even less than that, if you're just going through a problem and you want to see, you know, rectification of this problem, I can already diagnose it off the bat. You need to know something about Jesus. Look at that. Because guess what? If there's already a way, and you're already qualified, and there's already a life to receive, what are we missing here then? There's only one more step. Can we not see the roadmap that Jesus lays out for us in John 14? Way, truth, life. If he's already the way, and we've already received that way, so that means we're already qualified for all the life that's inside of us that we can experience, there's only one more element that you need to receive from God. The truth. Now, you're already qualified for the inheritance. Now you just need to know it. I just diagnosed all your problems. Now you just need to know it. You just need Jesus to teach you. Because you're not the teacher. He is the truth. Did I say that you're the truth? Did I say that he's the way and the life, but you're the truth? Did I just say that? Did you hear me say that he's the way and the life, but truth's your part? Did Jesus say, I am the way, and you're the truth, and I'm the life? Did he say that? He said, I'm the way. And guess who's the truth? I'm the truth. I'm the one that's going to teach you. And I'm the life. But if you've already received the way into all this life, if you've already received Jesus and been qualified for such an awesome inheritance that lives on the inside of you, there's only one thing you need. Knowledge. So let's not make it a gray area. Let's make it more black and white. Jesus is not confused about it. Is he confused? I don't know why that person didn't receive. He knows why they didn't receive. He knows why that thing didn't happen in their life. He knows why, and he knows what can fix it. You know what it is? Truth. That's it. Truth. So it's not mysterious. And God's not mysterious. And guess what? There's nothing that we can't know. We can know everything. We can know everything. You know why? That's not a prideful statement. We have the mind of Christ. So don't say there are certain things we just can't know. No, you can know everything. In fact, inside of you, you know everything already. So there shouldn't be big fat gray areas that we can't explain. You should be able to explain anything to anyone. You know why? You have the mind of Christ. So we should stop with this gray area thing. The reason why we make gray areas is because we're too afraid, because we want the honor from people, and we don't want to rub someone the wrong way. But I'm telling you what, though. People will be helped in the long run. Even if they don't like you in the short run, they will be helped in the long run. And I'm telling you, they'll even end up loving you in the long run, which is not the point, obviously. But they'll even end up loving you and appreciating your correction in the long run when you take the time and you can be firm with them and say, listen, this is not gray area. This is not mysterious. The knowledge of Jesus could have prevented that. But I tell you what, brother, this is your inheritance. And the knowledge of Jesus can fix it even better than it was before. But it's still the knowledge of Jesus. And there is no gray area. Very, very black and white. As to what knowledge someone needs to hear, yeah, we can get into that. But it's still black and white as to what people need. The knowledge of Jesus, period. And it's not gray. As I said, we many times want honor from people. We crave honor from people. Or we're just used to honor from people and we don't even know how to react if someone is offended. We don't even know how to react. And you know what? Just so you know, don't go out of your way to offend someone on Facebook or in an email or in a text. Be a son of your father, and I'm not saying you're not, but be a son of your father and approach someone directly and help them. Because it's real easy to be nice and bold when you're on Facebook or text or email. Approach the person. If it's that important to say something, then revert from sending an email or something like that. And I'm not against emails. I like emails, so emails are easy and texts are easy. But I'm talking about when you need to talk to someone about something. If it's that important to talk to someone about something, then guess what? Stop caring about their honor. Go to them face to face and say, you know, you mind if I just talk to you real quick? You know, let's just sit down. And you could love them, and that's all awesome. Speak the truth in love and edify the heck out of them. They should leave and be edified unless they misunderstood you. But let me say this, and you can't help that. You can only do as much as depends on you. But don't leave big gray areas for people like you don't know why they're going through and struggling so much in what they're going through. You know why they're struggling, so tell them why they're struggling. Do it. You know why? If you don't tell them, they got a door that they're not accessing through. And guess what? You could have told them and they could have accessed. And I'm not condemning you, because guess what? If you didn't tell someone the truth at any point in time, you are absolutely forgiven and God does not recollect your sin. I'm not talking about for your relationship with God. I'm talking about for their good. Don't be afraid to correct someone or to tell them the truth about how to receive through Jesus. If someone is struggling, you give them the knowledge of Jesus. And if they're wondering why, and they start saying as if it's mysterious, and they don't know why all this is happening, you share with them the truth. as it's called for, as the Holy Spirit gives you opportunity. I'm not asking you to slam people upside the head. My whole point with this is that there are not gray areas. It is black and it is white. Either you know something about Jesus or you don't know something about Jesus, or, like I said, you know something that you need to grow in and continue in. But it's one of those things. It's always knowing Jesus that's going to fix every single problem that this earth has. Why? Because he's already fixed it. And we're getting to know it. And if you get to know it, you access through what he already did. Okay? He already did it. We're getting to know it so we can utilize and experience everything he already did. But it's as simple as that. It is as simple as that. When we try to make things as if it were up to God's will as to whether someone experiences the life of God, it's not up to God's will whether someone experiences the life of God. I would just really encourage you. You know, I've just been really thinking about things like that. Lord's been really laying a lot of stuff on my heart recently about not caring about the honor from men and being able to say something. But regardless of what, you know, Paul sent the Corinthians a letter, 1 Corinthians, and he said, I actually felt sorry for sending it to you at first. He said, but once I saw the fruit that it produced in you, he's like, I really, you know, he came to the conclusion. He's like, it was good for me to say those things because you really need to hear it. And it's not being mean. It's actually just the opposite. But you know what, though? If you are focused on loving people, all you end up doing is just lathering them with all the stuff, and it's not helping them. You need to think about Jesus, and he will empower you with real love from the bowels of Christ inside of you. And because you're not preoccupied with them but with Jesus, you will not have the hindrance of wanting their honor and trying to please them and all this kind of stuff. That's all that human love is, trying to please people. That's all it is. Whenever someone says, I just have like this gift of love and I'm just so compassionate to people, you know what all they mean is? They're people pleasers. I just don't know. You're just being mean to them. Stop saying that to them. You know, this, sometimes we don't know why we receive from God. And you're just going to go over there and just kind of lather stuff on them and just stroke them and stuff like that. You know what it is? You're a people pleaser. That's all this human, I have this gift of love and compassion, and you know, I just have this arouses in me. It's because you care so much and you love their honor and you love their praise. That's all it is. That's why you want to please them so much. You're a people pleaser. That's what human love is. People pleasing. And if you just keep your eyes on Jesus, though, you get to love someone without the preoccupation of all their garbage and what they're thinking and all that stuff, because you're not thinking about what's going through their mind or their honor or their praise. You're just thinking about Jesus and how much he loves you and all that he did for you. And then the love comes not from you anymore, from the bowels of Christ. And guess what? If you're walking and you're passing a Canaanite woman and her daughter is demon-possessed and the Holy Spirit's not, in the bowels of Christ is not answering her right now, you can keep walking and focus on Jesus. With the preoccupation with somebody else. When you're so preoccupied with somebody else, you can't correct them, you can't do what the Holy Spirit wants because you're so focused on people. Just look at Jesus. And guess what? Who cares what someone thinks? Because they're not your occupation. They're Jesus' occupation from on the inside of you. Okay? You look, it's from the Word. You may not see these things right now. That takes growing, just so you know. That honestly takes growing to understand what I'm saying. If, you know, if I were to say certain things that Jesus said to certain people, you know how many people would call you a jerk, you're an idiot, you know, this person has a need and you just ignored them? You know how many names you'd be called for doing things the Holy Spirit's doing through you? Why? Because the situation calls for it. And guess what? That was the best way Jesus could love her at that point in time. And I'm not saying ignoring people is loving somebody, but guess what? At that point in time, it was. There are people, guess what? Most people, I believe, you know, God would have you pray for most people if they ask you, and they had a need, that's fine. And you trust the Holy Spirit to say different things to you. But guess what? There are certain people that ask you to pray for them, and you don't need to pray with them. I've had people come in and ask me and say, let's just pray, let's just pray. And I've told them, I'm not praying with you. They came in, and this person was clearly either demon-possessed or something like that. And they wanted just to pray because they didn't want me. I was trying to teach them the truth, and they would say, let's just pray, let's just pray. It was weird. I would try to tell them the truth. They would say, let's just pray, let's just pray. Because honestly, the devil would rather have you asking God for stuff than just speaking the truth. Because it's the truth that will cut deep into someone's heart and rid them of that filth that's in their mind that's hindering their progress. The devil would say, let's just ask God, let's just talk to God. And I told him, I'm not praying with you. I'm trying to tell you the truth. So there are times to do different things. And people will call you a jerk or whatever, or mean-spirited for doing certain things. And you know what? If you're preoccupied with people, you'll crumble under it because you want to please people. Loving people is not people-pleasing. In the long run, if they listen to you, it's the most pleasing thing in the world because you're trying to lead them to Jesus. But I just hope we understand, you cannot be occupied with people your faith will crumble under it. You will make wrong judgments. You won't be able to flourish the way God wants you to. Preoccupy yourself with Jesus and Jesus only. He's the only one for you. He's the only one for you. You got brothers and sisters in Christ, but he's the only one for you. You got a family that's in Christ, but he's the only one for you to be looking at. They're not going to help you. Your brother and sister in Christ can't help you. He's the only one for your heart. You trust him and believe that if you trust him, he'll produce all the good you need through you, and he'll produce the good and the love toward other people. You got to trust him. It's the fruit of the, we know, I'm not even going to say it, it's our memory verse this month. The fruit of the what?
Spirit.
The fruit of the Spirit is love. If it was for you to do, he wouldn't say fruit of the Spirit. There's a kid's lesson I wrote a while ago, and it's called, You're Not the Spirit. Because once you realize you're not the Spirit, then you realize you're not the one that loves. Because it's the fruit of the Spirit. And if the Spirit's not you, then you're not the one that loves. You can't have that preoccupation on your mind. Way too heavy for you, and you will not successfully love people. As I said, you just end up trying to please people. And that is not love. Anybody will be thanking you in the end for preaching the gospel and not compromising because you're trying to please somebody. There's no one in the resurrection, whether it be the resurrection of the just or the unjust, that will be criticizing you for having the Holy Spirit preach the gospel to you as was necessary. Nobody will be criticizing you in the world to come. Right now, we're called the fools in this age. In that age, the ones that don't listen to the things that the Holy Spirit's saying through you, they'll be called the fools. And all I'm saying is, there's nothing that's really worth it to not just tell someone the truth. And speak the truth in love, but speak the truth, though. Speak the truth, right? All right. Okay, so let's just pray, and we're going to close up. Isn't that awesome that you got one thing, man? You got one person to look at, and he's going to teach you everything. That's so cool. You don't have to look at one person to study him. You are going to learn, but not because you're doing the learning. You are going to learn. It's true. Jesus said, learn from me, but because he's teaching you. We need to learn how to just realize and trust that he's the speaker and we're the hearer. We need to trust that. He's the truth. You keep believing that. I said last message, if you want to hear from God, if you want it to be righteous, we believe that he was our righteous. If you want to hear from God, believe he's your truth. Believe it. That's how you hear from God. Believe you are the truth. I'm not the truth. Jesus said, I am. Those are powerful words. I am the truth. And you say, amen. So if you want to hear from God, you say, amen to that. You can whisper it as we're praying. Amen. Right, let's pray. Father, we come to you right now. We thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that you are everything to us, Lord. And right now we just focus on the fact that, Jesus, you are our truth. You're the truth for us, Lord. And we focus on you, Jesus, because you're able to teach us the truth. You're able to indoctrinate our hearts in all that is true and pure and lovely and of you. So we thank you, Father. We preoccupy ourselves with your son, Jesus, because it's your son, Jesus, that has demonstrated your love toward us and has poured out that love upon us abundantly. That love lives on the inside of us. The love of God is something that produces tangibly through us and lives on the inside of us. The love of God is in you unseen, and the love of God produces tangible love out through your body. You're loved by God all over the place, just dripping all over you. The love of God. He has lathered you in his love. We're talking about the Holy Spirit right now. God has lathered you in his love. He loves you so much. And his love is something that's in you unseen and produces tangibly through you. Substance, evidence out through you so he can love you all over. God wants to love your eyes and your ears and your nose and your mouth and your face and your hands and your feet. God wants to love any part of your body that needs it, which is all the parts of your body. God wants to love every aspect of you. God wants to love your mind with wisdom. He wants to love all these things. And so therefore he has poured out his love inside of you. And that love, as you know the truth, that love is pouring out through every part of you. God has lathered his love all over you. And we thank you so much, Father, for loving us so much. You loved us enough to send us Jesus so that through him we could have this inheritance. So we thank you so much, Father, for loving us so dearly, so much, Lord. Your affection toward us, Lord, is something, Lord, that you couldn't even measure, Lord. So we thank you so much for how immeasurable your love is toward us, Lord, and for the literal form of your love, which is the Holy Spirit that was given to us through your son, Jesus. So thank you so much, Lord. We just appreciate you tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And if we're just focused on that, Lord, we're automatically on the right track. We just need to let go of other people. We need to let them go. And if that sounds wrong to us, it's because we esteem our ability to love them too highly. Only people that believe they can love of their own hold on to other people. The only reason why you hold on to other people is because you believe you're able to make things work yourself. But when you realize you can't, and you let them go, you'll find that God ends up loving them through you. And you'll end up gaining people back that you let go. You end up gaining things in your life back that you let go. And you just look to Jesus. God's not asking you to let things go like we're talking about. Let go to trying to love people. Let go all these various different things. God's not asking us to let these things go because he doesn't want these things for us. He's asking you to let these things go because it's your wrong office that you've taken if you're trying to love somebody. Our office in our position is eyes on Jesus, preoccupied with him and all that he's done in loving us. And if we'll focus on that, the Holy Spirit will love people for us. And we won't have to love people anymore. But you must in your heart let all these things go. Let all your problems go in your mind. And know, look to Jesus and say, Jesus, teach me. Because I believe I cannot do it. So I let go and I say, Jesus, teach me. Because I believe that your gospel can empower me to the solution here. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. We love you, Lord. And Lord, you don't love us because we love you. Jesus, you loved us first. Thank you so much, Father. You loved us. Not when we loved you, Lord. You loved us first. Father, you loved us regardless of whether we would ever love you or not. Regardless of whether we would ever believe you or not. You loved us anyway. Not with an expectation, Lord, that we would love you. Because you love a world that will never love you. You loved us, Lord, just because you love us. Not because we've done anything for you, Lord. Not even because we believe you. In other words, not even because we loved you also, Lord. But you love us, Lord, because you are love. And you've chosen us, Lord, to set your love on us. And thank you, Father. We who have believed have received this love. It's inside of us. So we thank you for your love, Father. We appreciate you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And even our thanks, Lord, is not to make you love us. Our thanks, Lord, is so that we remember your love. And we sing of your love. And we can constantly, Lord, partake of the sweetness of how sweet your love is toward us. Constantly, Lord, refreshing our hearts with your love for us, which is the Holy Spirit been poured out on us through your Son. So we thank you, Lord. As we said, Lord, we praise you. We glorify you. We could keep going on and on, singing all your praises and speaking of all your praises of the one who called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. But, Father, we just for right now say thank you, and we continue on meditating, Lord, and refreshing our hearts, because you are refreshing, Father, with that fountain of water from on the inside of us, refreshing our hearts with your love. And we thank you in Jesus' name for all these things.